And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Here and declare your independence of me, Ernest Hancock, here in, I have no idea where we are. Where are we, Donna? St. Joseph's, Missouri, on our way to Red Pill Expo in Rapid City, South Dakota. And, we got the bus fixed, you know, the throttle thing going, kind of working in hours, and went and stopped by. We were willing to leave it with the guys that were going next week to have them do a whole bunch of stuff on the bus, just kind of cosmetic stuff. And he goes, well, it's this here bolt. Didn't you know about that? Do you know, you dummy? Don't you know this here bolt right here? You didn't do anything. They go, well, let's put the bolt on. Boom. And it's fixed. How come when they put it together, they didn't do a Loctite nylon, not whatever? All right, so it's fixed. We're taking a bus to Red Pill, so that's good. Now, what we wanted to do is I've been hammered on this one issue for a long time. And it's really starting to emphasize more. I've been traveling the country. Because a lot of people are like, yeah, we need to get out of the city. We need to be self-sustaining. We need to start doing food. We need it. And community. Community keeps coming up. I keep hearing that word, community. Okay, define your hippie commune. Tell me about your compound. Tell me about your bunker silo and which families, you know, live in luxury and which ones are the serfs. You know, tell me how this works. This has been going throughout history. This has been a thing. Well, a panel that we had at the Greater Reset, I participated in, was on this issue, is communities and around the world. And Chloe Buzada, am I saying that right, Chloe?
Yeah, you're saying it perfect.
Okay. Chloe Buzada, for the past 7 years, Chloe has been directly helping organize, strategize, fundraise and create outreach platforms for eco nonprofits, including Global Eco Village Network of NA. What's NA mean?
North America.
Okay. And Austin Permaculture Guild. She received her BA in permaculture and eco village design at Goddard College. We'll talk about that in a little bit. GrowingSystems.org and EcoVillage.org. Global Eco Village Network catalyzing communities for a regenerative world. Oh, see, we're starting to get somebody we need to talk to. All right, here we go. The Global Eco Village Network envisions a world of empowered citizens and communities. See, we got to parse all these words. Empowered. What the hell does that mean? Okay, we'll find out. And designing and implementing pathways to a regenerative future while building bridges of hope and international solidarity. Man, I got a bunch of them back there, too. Imagine a world living abundantly while within its limits. What limits? Who sets the limits? You know, we've got to talk about that. A world that is regenerating rather than depleting the environment, and where cooperation and connection are rewarded. Oh, incentives. See, now you get talking about libertarian stuff. Let's see what's happening. Gen aims to create Gen. Global Economic Network. Okay, that's Gen. All right. Aims to create such a world by spreading the physical and cultural technology of eco-villages. Spreading the physical and cultural technology. Okay? Does this mean I'm going to get answers to my questions? Maybe. We invite you to get involved with this work. Okay, I'm involved. Let's go ahead and find out what's up. Now, Chloe, go ahead and, other than this, introduce yourself a little bit. You know, you know, when you went to college, what influenced you the most? Are you over 25? You know, you look young, but it says 7 years of doing this. So you're still in your 20s, I would imagine, right?
That's right.
Okay. All right. So she's under 30. And but she has experience with this. What was your motivation for even picking this as a career or a passion? You know, tell us your story up to now. Go.
Okay, so I have to say, I didn't know what I'm getting myself into today, Ernest, but I'm excited to be here, and it sounds like I'm repping for the Global Eco Village Network today. I have to be humble that I did not start the network, and there's a lot of elders that have been doing this since the 1970s, being involved with this, and I do just want to announce just in Linda Joseph's name that she just passed away. She was one of the core leaders of this group, and she just passed away this past week. So in honor of her. So my story is, yes, I am under 30. I just turned 28 also this week. And I dropped out of college when I was 19 years old. I said, you know what, I was looking at Tumblr a lot. I was looking at blogs, and I was like, you know what? The environment is just hitting a point of degradation that I don't want to participate in the environment in that way, in society in that way. So I dropped out of college, and I signed up with Greenpeace, and that was great. You know, stop crime, you know, stop environmental degradation, whatever, like that's what Greenpeace is about. But I actually decided to go up to Valhalla Movement after that, which is where my intentional community and permaculture passion started there. So I don't know how deep you want me to get into.
I want you to tell me, you know, about that. You know, you wanted to find solutions. You went to Valhalla. That's the gentleman that was on the panel also.
Right, yeah, he's a friend of mine, and I asked him to be on the panel with me. I was 19 looking for answers, and I could have done college. I find myself intelligent enough to go through that route, go through corporate route, but I didn't want to do it.
Find yourself intelligent enough, you don't need to do that. That's what you found out. Okay, so tell me about Valhalla a little bit. They gave a little spiel on it when we were doing the panel and everything. It's Canada?
Yes. One is in Canada, correct.
Well, go ahead and describe, you know, the impact it had on you, because, you know, I didn't get a full picture of what was really going on. This is my impression. How much time we got? All right. Let me frame what I want to do in the next couple of minutes before we hit the break, okay? And then we'll get deep in it. I just turned 60. I've been doing this since I was your age. For 30 years, I've been, you know, freaking activist, late 80s of man, what the... And that's why on Freedom's Phoenix, the slogan is uncovering the secrets and exposing the lies. I'm tired of being BS'd all the time, okay? Just, you know, just tell me what secret, you know, and quit lying to me. I mean, it's just sort of saturated with lies. And a lot of it's exaggerations, and it's just all marketing and polish on the surface. Whenever I go to any kind of community, it always winds up being the dream of one individual. There's always somebody. There's always some little group, a family, a patriarch, a matriarch, or something. It's their dream, and they sell it. So everybody is like, yeah, I'm part of the dream. They may be happy or not or whatever, but it's not theirs. Can they have their own thing? Is there a reward system for being part of the community or whatever, and you get your own 2 acres and be your own commune, okay? So I'm going, you know, this is what I never see. And I want to know, you know, what you have to do. What can't you do? What's the conflict resolution? Because I want to be free, not help you be free, just you. I want to do what I want to do. So it's... I'm looking for that kind of thing. As I do a lot of research and just life, what do I find out? It was America, the promise of. There's a Declaration of Independence says, thou shalt leave me alone-ism, and, you know, go forth and pursue that happiness thing, and, you know, be gone. So now I'm going, all right, is there a structure? You know, is there, and I'm going, yeah, it's called the Declaration. Away from that, well, somebody's got to come up with something else now. So we're going to find out what the something else is when we come back. We'll be back in just a little bit.
The overall picture in the real estate market today is one of frustration when you take many factors into consideration. The housing market pundits would have you believe that everything is okay, but the long-term trending on the real estate numbers say otherwise. You are starting to see another wave of commercial and retail center vacancies, which follows a downturn in the residential market. So when you are ready to sell your house, I can help. This is Donna Hancock with Silver Alliance Realty in Phoenix, Arizona, and I can take some of the guesswork out of the home selling process, providing you with market trends in your area and detailing what you can expect before, during, and after the transaction. Being in the real estate business for almost 20 years now has afforded me knowledge of the market, networking with industry specialists along the way, and that includes professionals that can help after the sale to help protect your assets. So let's get moving today. Please feel free to call or message me at 602-828-1819. That's 602-828-1819, or visit my webpage at donnahancock.com.
Rhodes. It's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
They don't need no stinking roads. We got flying cars. Oh, yeah. In my, you know, commune, hippie community of whatever, eco, you know, are flying cars allowed? You know, I'm gonna fly in and go, oh, not between the hours of, or go down, you know, drive it down to the field or walk down to the hangar building of the community, you know, spaceport, you know, the blah, 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 blah. I mean, these things all got to be addressed. So, Chloe, you know, in the break, I told you, you know, kind of my motivation, what's going on here. You know, you've been working on this for years. You were searching for this from the beginning. You came across a place that you like, you know, and all my whys. Monologue me. Tell me what I need to know. Go.
Okay. So I think that you're throwing a lot of assumptions at once from what I'm hearing. One, that you're saying they're all hippie commune. And I know you've been doing this for 30 years, and maybe you associate to being a hippie. That's cool. Like, I'm kind of a hippie. I have a lot of hippie friends, but I wouldn't say they're all hippie communes. One. Second, I'm hearing a lot of what you're saying about, like, either F the man or for the man. I would call myself a liberal libertarian. That's one thing. That's one reason, you know, me, after being 19-year-old to 28-year-old, just being immersed in alternative community life, that's how I associate in the world. Like, sometimes I'm politically correct, sometimes I'm not, but I think most importantly, what we need to do is decentralize, but still find equity and equality in what we're doing. So that's a lot about what I'm doing. Equity and equality in social realm and environmental realm and economic realm. And I do find...
Okay, wait a minute. When you say economic equality, I mean equity. When you say equity, is it like a Harrison Bergeron, you know, level, everybody equal, so saith the law thing, or opportunity? What do you mean by that? I'm losing you on the mic. You need to get up or turn. Something happened. I can't hear you.
Can you hear me now?
I can hear you. It's just I need it louder. Yeah, no, you're really low. Let's go ahead and fix this, because I know it's really important to me, and I want to make sure we get it. On your Zoom, on the bottom left where it says microphone or mute, you know, hit that little drop down and go to audio settings and crank up your microphone.
So yeah, I think it's equity versus equality. And everyone says, oh, let's all be equal, but if you don't have the same access to resources, then you can't be equal, so that's why you talk about equity. Anyways, going back to decentralization, I think it's really important. I think the more that we're stuck on one system, and that system is already falling apart, yet there's so much money, so much energy, so much corporations invested in that reality, that it's really hard to get out of that, right? So I think that's a lot of what I want to see in a decentralized world. Now, yes, you're right. I do find a lot of communities that have one person. You know, Mark was on there from the Holland Movement. He was talking about duocracy. What I find to be an issue is that when there is not a power structure in place, that it actively is decentralizing power in that space, then it replicates, and it replicates to the people that have the most voice and most power and the most money. You still can't hear me very well.
Yeah, that's what we're working on. We're trying to get your...
So that's what I'm saying. You know, like, I believe that, you know, we can have a community, and I think that is the basis of intentional community, is to have enough structure, yet, you know, a system where it's dispersing power. And I find that to be, for me, really important. You know, I've been to a lot of different communities. I've seen where there's one person, and yeah, that motivates people. Unfortunately, not everyone can start their own community. If everyone was starting their own community, well, that wouldn't help anyone, because you get back into rugged individualism. So right now, there's a lot of people that are...
Okay, wait. What's wrong with rugged individualism?
Because you can't live in a community if everyone wants to be their own individual and not share anything.
When does it become... community, you know, when does it go from rugged individualism to community? I mean, I can't be a rugged individual and go to the local church community center and coach the little league team. I mean, where's the line?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's important. I think what you're really asking is what do you have to give up in that scenario?
Right. And see, this is why I make it very simple. Let me do it this way. You know, it's the three questions. What do I have to do? What can I do? What's your conflict resolution? So in your ideal community, I am expected to what? I move in. I got a place. Is it cordoned off like condos? Am I got a townhouse? Do I get my two-acre lot over there and I'm in the intentional community? When they say intentional community, intentional what? Intentional, you know, individual liberty, intentional protect my individual rights. I'm part of a freedom, and intentionally I'm left alone. Intentional. What's intentional?
Yeah, I mean, I agree with that. What I would say is you're coming around common values. You're coming around a common system in place. And what I would ask of people, instead of just having one leader there and saying, you know, you're the visionary, so you get to make the rules, it's, hey, I see what you have going on. I resonate with what you're doing. And I want to be an individual. I want to be a leader in this space. And the person that is a visionary, they should be encouraging that. So one, I don't think that's happening enough in communities. But the ideal world is that everyone is coming around an intention. Everyone's coming around similar values. And then from that, you do have to abide by rules, but you create the rules. Every person there, every child there, when they become of age, should be amending those rules. And that's a problem versus, you know...
What do you call that? Congress?
No, that's what I'm saying. That's the opposite. Because what happens in a large system like the U.S., why it doesn't work, is because in the U.S., it's too big. You can't, and I know that's where I get into the libertarianism, and I would still say I'm liberal, but what I'm saying is you can't have a blanket statement over a whole large place, because then things change too slowly. If you have a group of 20 or 30 or even 100 people, you can make changes if everyone has a voice. If everyone doesn't have a voice, that's where you become issues. So there are structures in place where everyone can have a voice. There's many different ways to do that.
Yeah, but I want Butthead Fred over here to not have a voice. I don't like his voice. Shut him up. You know, he's too loud. He's too quiet. He's too, you know, demanding. You know, there's two. You see, we got a lot to unpack here. We'll be right back. You know, Chloe Bazzata. Buzzata. Yeah, that's how I say it. Got Chloe Bazzata. You know, we're going to work on the audio, too. We'll be right back.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock. To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800.
Chloe Buzzata. You know, she's focusing on this very question, and she got her mic fixed. Or she got another one, and then, you know, so hopefully that'll be better. Thank you. All right. Audience will not shoot me as much. An audience member is saying, you know, that I should ask you about, you know, if you know of Carl Hess. I mean, does that ring a bell with you?
No, you're saying that's part of Goddard College's background.
Well, no, it was kind of associative. What happened was Carl Hess was speechwriter for Goldwater back in the 60s, and he was one of the founding, you know, kind of the icons of the beginning of the Libertarian Party throughout the 70s. And by the end of the 70s, there was a short film that was done, Toward Liberty, Carl Hess, Toward Liberty, or something like that. And it won short documentary, an Oscar, an Academy Award for short documentary that year. And it was done by students up there. And when we started publishing it on the internet in the early 2000s and so on, it got really popular, and the people that made it were trying to, like, kill it. They didn't want, you're doing it wrong, because the sustainability thing that Carl Hess, you know, the libertarian, was talking about kind of had its own branch. It wasn't what they wanted. Mm-hmm. They wanted this kind of control central plan thing, where his whole anarchy was anarchy. You're in charge of yourself. Nobody's in charge. Not anarchy, we did away with this one, and now we're in charge with a Marxist, whatever the hell, you know, which is kind of, they changed the words, they redefined, they, you know, that kind of stuff. And I encourage you to watch this. You'd really get a lot out of it. It was called Toward Liberty. Carl Hess, Toward Liberty, yeah. It won Academy Award for Best Short Documentary back in 81. And long story how we came across it and whatever, but sadly, Goddard College in Vermont, this is from the audience member listening, sadly, Goddard College in Vermont, where much of this was filmed, has fallen to the hardcore global and their sustainability scam soon after this was made. It is part of the Bernie Sanders Rockefeller experiment that started there just about the very same year this film was released. Note, most people do not know the most powerful wing of the Rockefeller family lives in Vermont. Vermont is very much a testing ground for the globalists. Learn more at blah, blah, blah. So the point is that this question and these answers and this effort has been going on since, you know, forever. You know, Buckminster Fuller is, you make the current system obsolete and you do whatever and build your geodesic domes, which I have a stamp press, and I make geodesic domes coming out my butt everywhere. Okay, we manufacture them out of metal and do, and, you know, coat them and that. Man, you want to build a hippie commune? I got the best stuff in the world. I'm gonna help you out and do it for free. I will give you a dome just for you guys to play with it, and I've done that across the country. Now the thing is that I'm waiting on you now. We'll talk about it. So you can see, I am invested in this solution. I want to find an answer. And the closest I come to is that you just do it. You're on your own. You have neighbors, but they have their own property. When the backhoe breaks down, who fixes it? Who's responsible for it? How is that done? Who makes the decision?
I'll tell you, Ernest, it's not going to work that way, because then whether you realize it or not, and a lot of the permaculturalists, the early movement, they said the same thing. It goes back to rugged individualism. You can't do it that way because it hasn't been working. If you really want to follow Buckminster Fuller, you want to make it obsolete, you have to challenge the deepest values you have, and most people don't do that. Most people, they like the power, they like the control that they have. And what happens, you know, if you don't have community, what happens if you get in a conflict with your neighbor? What happens then? You don't have any conflict resolution. The things that you were just saying is important. If you don't have those things already in place, if you guys didn't agree on it, if you didn't agree on a mediator beforehand, that's what makes community special. It already has agreements in place, and all you have to do is agree to it. And it's just in case things fall apart. That's when you go back to it. You have regular meetings. You could be talking about whatever the fuck you want. But if you have regular meetings, that's great. If you have a conflict resolution already written and everyone agrees to it, if one person just said, hey, this is going to be the conflict resolution, and it just randomly appears right when people start fighting, no one's going to say yes. But if you said, hey, look, you came into the community because you already said yes, and that's why you're in the community now, then you have something to fall back on. But if you don't, then if the person that you want to get the backhoe from is like, well, I have your dogs and they're ripping up my garden every day, I don't want to give you the backhoe anymore. Well, you don't have anything to fall back on. So that's why community is important to me, because as shit hits the fan, and it will, we all know it. I'm sure the people you hear, who's listening, knows that. What do? And we don't have a solution to that, and that's why I'm more on the social side of building community. That's why I study those pieces. I study conflict resolution. I study community dynamics, and it's a lot of sociology and psychology.
You know, and that's why it seems to me it keeps coming down, as we've been traveling a lot in rural America, it's the community that is created on their own, and the infrastructure is, oh, you know, it's a municipality, it's a county. And you don't think so? Wait until there's the health department shows up with their shiny badge and their gun and says you're closed down, locked down, you're not allowed, and stay inside, and you can't. And I'm going, wait. I thought this, you know, this Declaration of Independence, defend my individual rights, was to keep a government from locking me down, from, you know, having my business closed, from me not being able to work, from. So obviously what happened this last year doesn't work, ain't it? Okay, so you go, all right, well, what's this community supposed to be? Well, it keeps going back to the Declaration. So that Declaration of Independence, the pursuit of happiness, life, liberty, and your pursuit of happiness, this is what the deal was. This is what they were trying to address. This is it. America was it. This was the shining hill, go get your own damn farm. This was it. And then it got taken over. And I'm telling you, from my experience, last 30 years, it's been at the county level. They, them, those came in at the counties and said, we're in charge now, whatever the heck it was, and they got their shiny badge. And they'll call it sustainable development. They'll call it eco whatever. They'll call it whatever you want them to call it to get away with it. But they're going to rule, and that's what's going to happen. So I'm going, where do we get the rule? Well, then if we go to an intentional community, it builds on the same foundation. There's going to be rules, but who enforces them? Who is the one? We talked to one of the guys at the Greater Reset. A woman was really impressed with a guy's book that lives in Costa Rica I had on yesterday. And his whole thing was, first, you got to fix yourself. You know, that it's your own revolution first. And then I'm going, all right, well, then we need like a scuttlebutt, you know, which is an app that I'm doing, you kind of out the sociopaths and the bad guys. How do I get rid of that guy? I don't even want that guy. He's got a bad mess up everybody's life reputation already. So what about reputation? What about clearing people that go into the community? And that community has borders and boundaries. How large does it have to be? What's too big? I mean, all these things. So we'll get into that in the next segment. But real quick, you know, how big is too big a community? How big can you go before you start having problems?
Well, I think it's really about setting it up. There's an awesome one in Italy called Domingure, and there's over 1,000 people, but they're in sections of 20. So they all, it's a big village where they all have general rules in the larger village, but then each 20 people and 20, like each household, gets to make their own agreements personally.
Well, as opposed to what?
I mean, you know, you're familiar with freedom cells, right? Like, no one's enforcing what Freedom Cells is, per se. It just, you know, this agreed upon alliance or coalition. But each Freedom Cell has their own way of doing things. So you can say, you can blanket that on a community and say, oh, well, a community can decide, like, all these things that are generally there. And then, you know, like, maybe an HOA or something loosely resembling that. But then each specific one is like, okay, what? How do you deal with the dirty dishes? How do you deal with the loud people at night? How do you deal with the early people in the morning? How do you deal with the baby? Because, like, you need to talk about those things.
Okay, we're going into break. They can't hear it over your little microphone. So we're going to be right back. We'll get into this. And I'm going to ask Chloe for examples. You know, after 7 years of working on this, you got to have some stories, examples. Had this problem, this is the solution. This problem started because of this, you know, infrastructure. So we're going to find out when we come back.
Freedom is the answer. What's the question?
I want to break free.
You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
I want to break free.
Break free from what?
I want to break free from your lies.
From your lies. I have to rejoin her. I want to break free, the Queen song, okay? And I want to break free. And I go, from? What are we breaking free from? You know, I just want, I don't want to be lied to. So when we're going in, we talked off the break, and hopefully we'll get, you know, to some answers here, is that how much freedom do I got to give up to be free, to be left alone, to be protected, to be part of a community? And then what's the deal? I got, you called the cops, somebody's going to jail. Domestic violence dispute, somebody's going to jail. You called us, so somebody's going to jail. Because, damn it, we're tired of dicking around being marriage therapy. I mean, that's not, you know, who's going to jail? Pick one of you guys. You know, that's what kind of happens in some situations. So I'm going, okay, your experience, has it been families? Is it when your little cells, when it gets over a dozen? You know, is it age? Because teenagers telling the mother that bore them and raised them, you know, F off, mom, I'm not listening to you anymore. I'm going to think they wouldn't say that to some community. Of course they do. Then what? You know, so I need an example. After 7 years of this, I guarantee you got a lot of successes and failures. Tell me some stories.
Okay. Well, first, I just want to address Goddard College, because I think that's a point of interest for people, whether they like it or not. I'll tell you why I went there. I didn't want to have anyone telling me what to do. I didn't want to spend $40,000, whatever, being told that going to college. So instead, I went to a place where I got to choose what I wanted to do. I got to choose what books I read. I didn't have to have dogma. And I got to write about whatever I wanted to write about. And I got a bachelor's degree out of that.
You did go to Goddard. Oh, I thought he was just referencing it to reference it. Okay.
No, I went to Goddard, and no one told me what to do. I got to write 10-page papers every 3 weeks about eco-villages, permaculture, whatever I decided to write about. You know, a lot of people can say, you know, I don't agree with their liberal way or whatever. They're an activist school. They just want to give people the freedom to learn what they want to learn about. You know, that's, you can say that that's a lot more than any middle school, high school, elementary, church that thing can give you.
Yeah.
So I just want to stick that there. Now some examples. I lived in Austin, Texas, and I lived in a place that was an unintentional community. What I mean by that is they just wanted to say, oh yeah, we live in community, blah 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 blah. Well, there was one guy that owned the space, and he didn't want to be a community leader. He didn't want to give any rules or anything. So there was just a lot of people living there, and they wanted, you know, they paid rent. Well, there was a lot of issues with that. One, he left his stuff everywhere. Like, that was just a part of living at that space, you know? And after a while, you get tired of tripping over the stuff you leave in the middle of the night when you have to go to the bathroom. That's hot. I mean, going to the bathroom center. So at some point, me studying intentional community living, I was like, look, there's a group of people living together. They obviously have similar values. They like being around each other. They like eating breakfast together in the morning. But there's some serious things happening and a lot of miscommunication. There was random people coming in. There was conflicts occurring. And so I found that we need to start having regular meetings. Why? Well, any place where people start talking to each other on a regular cycle, then you start clearing up communication. It's as easy as that. Secondly, there was conflict happening. Well, if you have something written on paper and you say, hey, well, if we get into a conflict in 1 year from now, this is how we're going to settle it. Well, if you didn't have that agreement beforehand, then you can't settle it at the time because you didn't agree on a way that you're going to settle. So then that's when people start having fights with each other, and they don't have any way of, okay, this is how we're going to handle that. So I think there is a lot of that. And then just the fact that there was one landowner, that's always what it comes down to, is if there's a group of people living on one person's site, they get to make the decisions and they have all the responsibility. Well, that's no fun in both parts because no one else gets to make the decisions, and also that one person is steeped in responsibility of fixing up the land. And that's what I hear a lot of people trying to make communities now. You know, a lot of people that I talk to, Rebecca and John's friends that I was just on the Greater Reset with, you know, not necessarily them, but their friends, you know, it's about, okay, one person has a piece of land, other people join it, thinking that they have their own sovereignty, whatever, but when it comes down to it, not everyone has resources and able to buy it out. So a lot happens, and you can create a community setting where everyone can buy in or have resources and it's dispersed.
Okay, well, describe, you can. I'm looking for example. See, I'm looking for what you're talking about, a manual, a book. You know, here's, see, if I give you an example. when I got married, I got married in Pennsylvania. We're from Arizona. We go back to Arizona to live, and the contract changed. The most important contract of your life was written by some government. And all of a sudden now, my wedding night, I'm having a forced menage trois with freaking Uncle Sam. It's prima nocte with the government, you know? And I moved to Arizona, and that contract changes. And then it changes every time the legislature meets. I'm going, whoa, 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 whoa. You know, I most important contract, you know, how come I didn't get to write it? You know, why don't we do a prenuptial thing? I go into men's magazine, and I pick out, you know, one of 200 examples. My wife does, you know, one of 5 billion examples, and we kind of overlap, and we come, this is our marriage. Well, I'm looking for the communities. I go, where are those books? Where's that example? Where's that? Here's a starter pack. You know, you should do it. You should write it. I mean, you know, something somewhere.
I did. I have a whole course on it. Me and my partner created a whole course on it.
Well, where is that, pray tell?
that's on growingsystems.org, Grounding Your Village. So you can check that out. We're probably going to do the next one this coming spring. So
okay, growingsystems.org. All right, who owns the land? How does that work? Is it joint something?
Okay, so there's a lot of different ways. And you know what? I'm not going to be like, again, I'm not going to be like, ask the man. You have to understand the current system to be able to get out of the current system. And a lot of people, they don't want to do that. But there has to be a bridge. You know, there's the ideal, and then there's the reality. There has to be a bridge to get there. So one way, there's a great guy who created Emerald Village, and he comes on our course a lot, and he talks about it. And Yonah Mezritz is his name, Emerald Village. And he's made a lot of money creating communities. And he's gotten a lot of people involved. He goes around with 10 people and buys $1 million property, and they live there based on common agreements. So, you know, it's very doable. A million divided by 10 ends up not being that much, and there's a lot of ways to buy in. So that's a lot of what we teach about. One way is LLCs. You can actually own an LLC on a land, and everyone can own a share, and they can be able to sell those shares, and they can have the same responsibility, but you still own your own property. You can even parcel a piece of land based on LLC guidelines. So you can decide to do that.
Well, how big? We're going to run out of time, and I want to get this down. You know, it 20 different people can live in an apartment building, or do you need at least an acre, 2 acres, 10 acres each person to have peace and tranquility? I mean,
that depends on how much land you want to buy. What I would suggest is finding one that doesn't have zoning, doesn't have building codes, or has very lax ones, because it's a lot easier to build what you want to do, and you don't have zoning regulations of mixed-use plots, blah, 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 or residential, commercial, blah, blah, blah. Or how many families can live on there. Find something that has the least amount of building codes or is a mixed-use space already, and then buy in. It could be just one hotel or apartment complex. You could buy that, and you can still lease it out the same way and parcel it out. I mean, there's a lot of different ways you can go about it. You just have to say, hey, we as a collective are buying this, and we have these LLC legalities. There's a lot of different ways to go. One thing I want to say before this ends is about priorities, okay? Because there's a lot of people saying, or in your commenting, that you set up your freedom by going to the community. But you set up your community based on the priorities of people. And that was just what you do. If you started something deep inside,
running over time in the music commission. Now, what he's saying is, base your community is important. Like a front site in Nevada is all about gun rights. You know, they got homes to hear gunfire all the time. You know? So you go, yeah, you want priority if you get to be heard. You want to have town meetings every day, you do that. If it's a priority of how many, you know, ears of corn we can pick, you can do that. Priority. Find that out first. Inside a matrix that you have to deal with. You know, go check it out. It's global.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Today, let us make them remember. We are not
fear, undeclare your independence. I'm here in the Stancock, and Chloe and Bazada and I just started getting into the meat of it. Okay, so we're gonna do another couple of segments here, and then Matt White, I think, is he gonna come on at the bottom of the hour? She's gonna try and confirm with him coming on, because we're old enough, we recognize the language. You know, this has been you know, whatever, where the young people kind of go, where the ideas are, and you're on another collective serving the masters of something, you know? And we're trying to get away from that. And if we can help and all it takes is a freaking dome, man, I'm on it. You know, I want to, you know, in exchange for, you know, I get to see what you do with it. I mean, you know, that's what we're looking for. Now, what I did is I pulled up for her. Now, this is the 28-foot dome that we were making signs in. We put the fabric up to be a windbreak, and this is so I just wanted to show you how big it is. And this is, yeah. See, we're making, you know, signs there, you know, and this is out in one of the domes out in Tonopah. So there's Donna making some stuff, and they're sitting out in the desert. Now, all he got for a garage. Now, what we can do is we can make this into, you know, you cover that with chicken wire and concrete, and boom, you're done. You know, so this is something that we can make available, and you have choices in half inch, three quarter inch, and inch conduit that can be in 3, 4 phase, 5 phase, whatever. I'm going to show the audience, go to this site so you can understand. If we're going to do this, let's do it. It's Desert Domes, Desert Domes. See if that comes up. No, it's Dome Calculator. Hey, I got to pull this thing over to do it. Okay. You go to Dome Calculator, and while I'm pulling this up, Chloe, explain what you would do with them, where you're doing this, what you're hoping to demonstrate, how you got the land, what land, all about this permitting thing, because as we're traveling around, we have in southeastern Arizona, Cochise County, you can get a permit to not have to get any permits. I'm like, what? So anyway, they got that option to where you can do that. And in Missouri, kind of what you were talking about, we don't care. You got it recorded. That's your land. You do what the hell you want, and don't bother me. You know, so...
Yeah. I worked with Earthships up in Taos, New Mexico, and they have a lot less restrictions. But they did have to fight. They had to fight even in Taos. I mean, it's crazy. And now you have Earthships everywhere up there. And so now they have a like test site where you can just build wherever you want without any permitting at all. So there's that, and I love Earthship, but I definitely want to have one on my property. Missouri, there's a great community called Dancing Rabbit, and they build all their earth and structures there. And we're looking to do the same outside of Asheville, an hour out. We're looking around Burnsville, North Carolina, and we're working with someone who already has land, potentially. I mean, we might end up buying our own, but at this point, we're working with one person, and we're going to have some people buy in. What we want to do on the physical aspect with the dome, we want to have a few different structures to show people, showcase what you can do with them, right? So we're going to have a conference center, and that's going to be all 3D printed hempcrete spray. So, and then we're going to have some houses also 3D printed hempcrete spray. And then, you know,
okay, now wait a minute. What's
maybe doing?
What's printed?
The actual house is printed, 3D printed with geopolymer.
Okay, so you're doing kind of a polymer dome, or you're not going to be spraying?
That one It's going to be more of a house. So it'll be less of a dome, more of a house.
Okay, so you're going to use 3D technology with kind of actuators, you know, step motors on scaffold or, you know, sky crane or something?
Yeah, but I'm not the expert in that. I'm working with a guy who's been doing this for also 20, 30 years. He just started getting into the 3D printing, but he's a contractor by trade and all right. that. So that's something that we have graphics for and starting to create renders for, and that's also my crowdfunding and on the growing systems.org. So I wouldn't mind sharing more if people have questions about that. So anyways, my point is that we want to have a lot of different types of structures, and we want to have ones that are affordable and off the grid. That's our priority.
No, this is a big thing. Last summer, like June, July, I purchased all my copper for the house because I knew what was going to happen. You know, now it's freaking shooting through the roof. So, I got my copper, okay? And I got 15 350-watt panels, plus I got, you know, like 1,200 and something here on the bus. And I got, you know, 4 battle-borne lithium iron phosphate batteries, and I can build my own for the house. I mean, we're all over it. And the guy where you saw that dome, we were making the signs, man, he just upgraded his solar. He lives out in the middle of nothing, hadn't touched his generator in months. So, you know, this is, you know, it can be done. He's got a split system. I mean, we, you know, we're old guys, man. We built, we actually did it, okay? So we already know we can have a comfortable life. It's not the technology of that. It's the social aspects of it. It's how you're going to structure, not the building, your life. You know, so you're looking at the screen here, what this means is 1, 2, 3 phase domes. If you have a person standing, let me show you, when you go in there, when you do the calculator, a 6-foot person standing right next to the edge of the dome doesn't touch their head. So you get full, if you go 16 foot, you get full use of the floor space. And you can put, like you saw in my aquadome when we did our aquaponics, you know, they were connected. So they were connected, you know, here at one side with a 6-foot opening, and you walk between them. If we meshed that and then concreted it, and I had two doors in one and two doors in the other one with one connected, you're done. I mean, you don't want to put a window. I mean, we even had a sink in there, a running sink, you know. So it was, I'm willing to make this available to you at no cost for the construction. You guys pay for the conduit. Send somebody up to where we got our machine. We got a place to do it. We will build it for you, then go and help you put it up to show you how to do it. And, you know, two guys can put this up in 2 hours, you know. So when we're in one of my trailers, we take a bunch of these. I had 10 of them. You know, I am sitting up at Adam's, Kokesh's place, has a bunch of them up there. He's made a bunch of big domes. He's got 21-footers, 13, 16, a 28. I mean, and with on tires, you know, pounded with blah, 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 you know. So I'm in, not because I want to join your whatever it is, you know. That is, I want you to have the best chance possible so you get away from the technical ability of just not being not too hot, not too cold, not too hungry, not too whatever. You're there and get to where the real problem is. It's how you set it up socially. And I want to know that.
You're doing the work, Ernest.
All right, I'm going to find out. We're all going to find out. The cost for doing this is really going to be that you're under the magnifying glass for the Liberty community. We're going to see. You know, oh, well, if we only had a place to live. Well, you got that. Now what? Okay? So then you're starting with the land thing. So now that you have this resource available to you at cheap, 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 because most of this, when you buy these, you'll be paying $3,000-$4,000 just for the, you know, the frame to do, and that, man, you know, never mind. You know, but if you got, you know, labor and young people willing to do the work, I will give you the infrastructure for free other than just the cost. I'll make them. You get something, I'll show you how to do it. Hell, we might have a new place to put the machine. I mean, I don't care. The thing is that this is what we're talking about. So when we come back, we'll get Chloe's response, and at what stage are they ready for this kind of help? Because we've been doing this with other groups doing the same thing, but it's usually individual families that are doing it. Now we're moved into community. We'll see. Chloe's going to give her a response and the conditions of what we got to do when we come back in just a little bit.
From the second letter of Captain Mark. Any pirate knows that commerce is communication. Markets condense oceans of information into a single price. Innovations in communication are circumventing the scrutiny of the crown. This signals a change in the coin of the realm. The crown uses digital currency to surveil, censor, seize, and destroy wealth at will, so pirate currency must protect us from this weaponized money. We need to move funds further, faster, cheaper, and without third-party observation, basing decisions on an accelerating flow of information. So pirates require nearly instantaneous transactions with no arbitrary limits on volume or artificial influences on fees. Most importantly, a pirate currency must preclude centralization. Otherwise, it will become another link in our chain to the crown. A superior currency will result in the obsolescence of the coin of the realm and the extinction of the crown itself. Trade above the grid. Join us at piratswithoutborders.com.
To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800. 602-264-2800. And now, Ernest Hancock.
Chloe Fusada, you know, she's, you got my interest. Now, this is how far along they are, and they're looking for, you know, they got, you know, they know they're going to need dwellings. Well, they probably got, you know, some answers, and I go, okay, well, I got some, and we'll do, I don't know, at least, you know, you can count on me for help you make it go where with four domes, whatever size you want to do, and you got to have, you got to pick them up, you got to come get them, you got to help do it. You know, we'll have the machine. But I'm telling you, this machine was, I got over $10,000, $12,000 in, you know, the equipment to do this stuff. But it makes each one I'm doing, like, free. I mean, you know, you pay for the conduit and you're done. So tell us about, real quick, we got 10 minutes. I want you to tell me about the land. Where are you doing this? How are you working that out? Then who's going to get the domes? Is the ones building it? You know, how close are they going to be? How are they going to be situated? What, I mean, you know, where's your plan?
Yeah, I don't know if you want to pull up our site at all, but I could show you some pictures or strategy plans that we have. So what we want to do, our strategy is we're crowdfunding right now. We're going to do a down deposit on a piece of land that someone else owns, but that means that we'll also have an equal ownership, won't we, once we do the down deposit, the down payment. And then we want to create a glamping site. So I definitely see those as first being used as glamping sites. Then we could potentially create them into homes. Or we could do, if we have multiple ones, some of them can be homes, some of them can be glamping sites. I think we can do a wide range of stuff there. Once we have the glamping business up, we're going to create the conference center. Now, we have a lot, me and my partner have a lot of background with the Global Eco Village and the network, Awesome Permaculture Guild. She's living in a community, a 100-person community, for 35 years. We know how to host events. We know how to host community events. We know how to do it for a city, galas, whatever. We want to host events and host your events with people listening, Solar Punk, Greater Reset, all of those. We want to host those on our site at our conference center that's also going to be naturally built. So that's our end goal. We're also going to have people living there, buying in. There's a lot of different dynamics, but it's get the site, do glamping just to get some funding going on outside of Asheville. There's a lot of tourism, a lot of people that want to go out there and do a conference center.
Okay, no, I get it. Yeah, you build it and they'll come. All right. So here's, I'm at your site. Where do you want me to go?
So go to the second one. Go to the third one. About, and then forming community. Press forming community. And then go down a little bit. That's kind of all our community stuff. Go to the crowdfunding campaign right there.
Am I still scrolling down to get to it?
You're welcome to look through all that, too. That's more of the community side, but you might be more interested in hearing all about that. But as far as, like, the strategy plan and what we're trying to do right now, it's, yeah, on that link there.
Which link?
Our invitation to you, yes.
Our invitation to you, okay.
The crowdfunding campaign. Yeah, crowdfunding campaign right there.
Okay.
So we're going to start having weekly calls. The first one's on June 9th where you can learn a lot more about it. They're going to be non-disclosure calls, so you can't share the information that we're going to talk about it. We don't want people stealing these ideas. But
why?
If you keep going down, you can
that's why I'm doing this, is to steal your idea.
Why? Well, you can study what I'm doing.
All right.
So if you keep going down, you can see there's the strategy plan right there, and there's where we're going to do our targets. And that's one of the 3D renderings.
Okay, sorry. So the main thing is, you know, you want to live somewhere, you want to have a dwelling, be comfortable, not too hot, not too cold, not too hungry, thirsty, you know, and then you do whatever the hell you're going to do. And the thing is, it always comes down to shelter. You know, the first thing is, you know, breathing in and out comfortably for like the rest of your life. I mean, it always comes down to that. And it's how do you do that in peace? And that was one thing that was called the quiet enjoyment of your land. That was kind of, you know, like a legal precedent throughout the decades. I always see that in court case. You know, he has a right to the quiet and peaceful enjoyment of his land, whatever the hell that means, you know. So these things have already been discussed. It was in the promise of America was where you were supposed to have this. That's where a lot of people come to America for this, is to have the quiet enjoyment of their land. Now, I can go and, you know, pitch a tent in front of City Hall and I'm okay, but if I take and do it on your land here without a government permit, I go to jail. And I'm going, when the hell did that happen? Mm-hmm. So it's that deal. It's the foundation of it. If the problem is structure, I can help you with that. But that's never the problem. You know, it's going to be right. Something else. But because, right. And my reason for doing that is Donna and I, at the end of this year, we're going to be doing this. I'm not waiting on anybody. You know, we're going to do it. But, mm-hmm. You know, the more that use these domes, the more, you know, different, you know, I watch them how they do cobbing. I watch how they do aircrete. I watch how they, you know, even polymers and yada, 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 yada. Well, then you start getting into expense of just freaking wood. I mean, you know, God knows how much that's going to be. So I'm in. I want to help. You know, but I'm more interested in what you do with it. And if you got labor to come help, you know, then, you know, we can, with the labor, you start mass producing, you guys getting into it, now you got business. You know, now the business is building me domes, and I just pay for it, and you guys do the labor. You know, I don't care.
All
right. You know, so when you share this idea and what we're talking about with your partners and your friends and so on, just, you know, let us know. Because what I'm looking to do is this very thing. I want to make sure that you have the best chance and I get to see how your community is structured and how it works. That is the most important.
Yeah, you know, and that's why we feel confident in what we're doing. Because we're teaching courses on this. We're talking about the community dynamics. You know, you're saying shelter first, but you can figure out how to make a shelter, you know? To me, that's more common sense than living in community, unfortunately. You know, and that's why most of them fall apart within 2 years. And also, I didn't say it before, but Diana Lee Christian has an amazing book called Creating a Life Together. It is a big book, but there's a lot of people that read it and a lot of people that form community off of it. And, yeah, that's what you're getting into, and it's hard to create that space where people actually enjoy living with each other. They start, you know, the first 6 months, they enjoy it. After that, it gets really hard. And what do you do 10 years later? You know, and if you don't have, you know, I'm watching my grandparents go into assisted living. I'm watching my mom degrade. If you don't have people supporting you at the end of your life and at the beginning of your life, what do you have? See, that's where it ends for me.
All of a sudden, your sound jumped up. I mean, at the end of the show, and now I got good sound. Seriously. All right. So this first thing, get a better mic. But one thing that you can see why I'm interested in this. We, when you're 60 activists, been doing this 30 years, you got friends that know how to do stuff. You know, that is not the problem with us. They even got heavy equipment,
right.
Trench diggers, backhoes, skid steers. We're rock and roll. We can take care of ourselves. That's not the problem. The problem is I need to advocate freedom for everybody. It's the best chance I have of being free. It's because I can take care of me. It's how do you take care of your community.
And now,
live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
All right, we're back. This is what Chloe and I are ending this up. She's going to set up a, we'll do a Zoom meeting or something with her and her friends, and they'll listen to this, and what can we do? And they'll get, okay, on the calendar, you know, get half a dozen of us, get in the van and pull a trailer, go to Arizona, we make them come back with them, now what? I mean, you know, that it's always the now what. So the only documentation...
What I would love to see is an event where we can disperse a lot of them. Sell them at cost, but with an event where people are learning how to do it, too. Come to North Carolina, come to our land, and build them together.
Yeah, no, you get them up. Now it's, how do you cover it? You know, what do you... I mean, I feel a lot of videos in your future, you know, you got to go watch. But the... You know, you have anybody with any construction experience and so on? And
yes.
You know, I'm going to be experimenting. We already have. I've been doing this for a decade. You know, we've done all kinds of different things. Right. But anyway, oh, but they're round and it's hard to build in and around. I like round. You know, it's much more ergonomic for me. My restaurant, I designed it in the round, the kitchen area, because I had to have fewer employees. And I'm going, look, it's more efficient. You know, and you have the same space used in a different way. So I'm not worried about that. And tiny living, I've been in a bus, man. I mean, you know, it was to be like, you know, the mansion. But I want to be comfortable. I got a big family. You know, my grandkids, I got 12 grandkids. So I'm, you know, I'm, ooh, they're all coming over. Where are they going to be? So we're going to do this. I'm with you, sister. Mm-hmm. But you got to understand, I want to be very clear up front. My motivation for doing this is learning some new building techniques and what works and that, and, you know, kind of, you know, whatever. And but the big thing is how you set up your community for everybody to see why it worked or didn't work. You know, you get to implement your plan. I want
to
facilitate
I'll tell you
your
what.
Plan.
I'll tell you the background. I'm telling you that the way we're going to set up community is going to be different than other people. And that's a large part of what I want to sell. Is what I told you at first is having one owner and other people join typically does not work. But because me and my partner, Leonie, we have experience in living in community for years, her more than me, 35 years. If we have our own land and we have the vision of other people joining, it means there's less commitment up front. Because otherwise, you're going in because everyone has to put money in collectively, or one person puts money in, and then things get really complicated. But if you have just two or three people starting something and starting it as a business, then you have a revenue stream coming in at first, and you have less commitment, and people that really want to join can take their time to join. So that's what's going to be different. It's not going to be community first. It's going to be business first, and then community is going to come when they're ready.
Like you need a business of making domes. I'm in.
All right.
You know,
yeah.
Let's do it. You know, my cut is used machine, and it's mine until we whatever. But, you know, my deal is you make me a bunch of domes. You know, that I need. All right. Peace. You can make whatever you want.
Yeah. Well, we can have some glamping and some events and then make a lot of domes. I already have some people that want to come and help make yours. So you can make domes.
The thing that you need to, I encourage you to go look up is Ferro Cement. F-E-R-O.
Yeah, yeah, I know about it.
Okay. That's what this will be. You know, you use different things and all these, the cobbing or the ferro cement. In developing countries, they make big giant water tanks out of this. I mean, it's very thin, concrete, and reinforced wires.
Oh, yeah, that's true. That's why I know about it. Yeah.
No, imagine living in one of those big water tanks. I'm good. You know, I mean, this, so, I, you know,
I don't want to live in a cylinder. I don't want to live in a cylinder.
Well, maybe I do. You make it cool. They sure as hell are Mars. That's what's going to happen. I can tell you that. So, you know, this is, I'm excited about this. Because I don't have to be invested in whether you succeed with your thing or not. I don't care. I mean, I prefer that you do. But what I'm really looking for is the information. The information, the whole Liberty community, you know, has been exposed to you through the Greater Reset. You know, a lot of people, you know, are encouraging you to, and I think there should be 15 gazillion different kinds of whatever. I don't care. You know, and if I can help you start that and be a part of that, and we benefit with the information and whatever from you, and you open yourself up that we can scrutinize what is going on, I'm in. You know, and a lot of it's going to come down to where the land is. It's what country. It's what municipality. That's why a lot of people are doing the, you know, the Portugal thing. I've been seeing a lot of people going to Portugal. Mm-hmm. And the European Union, you know, in Europe, Portugal don't give a crap, man. Knock stuff out in the middle of whatever. Then they'll get popular.
Yeah. But it's also really dry. You better know permaculture.
yeah, we have been doing, well, that's why we did the aquaponics. You know, the Aquadome was aquaponics. Mm-hmm. So we learned what we could do there.
Yeah.
I'm probably a bigger fan of square foot gardening, or you want to be efficient and it's not back-breaking. I got to do so many weeds. Oh, my God, work. You know, so there's,
right.
You know, I'm looking for it. And then hugel mounds become a big thing, you know, depending on where you're at.
Yeah.
You know, you're putting in, you're feeding the soil. Then wood chips is a big, my plan. I get out in the desert, I'll put freaking 6 inches of wood chips. Let it sit there for 3 years. I don't care.
Yeah.
And then I got.
And also mycelium. You can do a lot of the mycelium, and that will help with the soil a lot.
Right. You know, well, that's a hugel mound thing. And then, you know, mycelium on wood chips you get. But that kind of happens naturally anyway. You know, you keep it moist and wood chips and you're done. So this is Arizona. A lot of people don't know. It's number one or two in citrus production. Number one in
I do know that.
In lettuce. It's number one or two in cotton. I mean, you add water, it freaking grows. Okay? And we got plenty of water. There's 40 years worth of water underneath the ground in Arizona. We have so much water that they are positively charging wells on the rim in northern Arizona. I mean, they want to tell you, it's a desert. Oh, my God. That's politicians.
If you're because of the Grand Canyon.
Yeah, they have the Colorado Central Arizona Project thing. That has a lot to do with it. But a lot of it is just for millennia. Nobody lived there. There's a bunch of water underneath. You know, it's just there. You know?
Huh.
So you pump it. The city of Phoenix as well. You know, now they're recycling and want to make sure you drink everybody else's amphetamines. But, you know, it's, you know, you got well water, you can do well. All right. So we'll leave it with this. I'm waiting on you now. I'm excited to help. We have the machinery and the knowledge to help. We have the ability to share for people to know. Once you start, once you see it's actually doing, people will gravitate. Then that's where Scuttlebutt comes in. So we may want to start experimenting with software. How do you keep the sociopaths out? How do you know by reputation? Oh, yeah, I got a truck and a big woohoo and all. Yeah, but you're a dick and nobody likes you and you screw up every.
I can tell you how to keep them out, but I can tell you how to weed them out.
Well, give me a quickie. Go.
Well, I mean, it's all about. Let's see. How do I put this? You let them in, and you have protocols in place. You say, like, you do community events, whatever. You'd have different ways that you're interacting, a lot of different things. But it's all about increments. If you're, you know, we lived with a guy that was a veteran, and he ended up being pretty crazy. And we didn't know that until 6 months in because, you know, he had a smile. He was nice. He was helping around, whatever. But, you know, you start seeing small things. But I think the biggest thing is having protocols of, like, check-ins, 3 months, 6 months, 1 year. And then you have, okay, maybe after 6 months, you say, okay, now you're a community member. You have to do this, this, and that, and then you become a community member. But you don't just have community members automatically. You have to have them go through a process. They have to live there for a while. And then you could decide if you want them to be there or not. Another thing, if you look at my forming community, I say exactly the values I want, the type of people I want. And so that you create a resonance around what you're attracting there because you just say out front, you know, Ernest, I'm sure you have no problem with that. You just say, these are the type of people I want. You just are very upfront and then you attract those types of people.
No, I'm not leaving. I'm squatting and I'm calling the police.
Well, I mean,
know. See, this is what I'm talking
yeah,
about.
You'll have
you
that
want to
anywhere.
Avoid that. You know, it's always going to, who's the ultimate authority? They don't call the sheriff. I'm going to stick the sheriff on.
That's true.
They're doing drugs and molesting children. I mean, you know, these are the things you got to worry about. So this is what I'm
yeah,
wanting to pay
I agree.
Attention to. All right. I'll let you go, Chloe. Thank you very much. You've inspired, you know, more conversation, and I really do want to help. It's not the only community I made this offer to, and we've been around and we've corrected them and that, but if you really want to get involved in this, take advantage of it, I'm here to be taken advantage of for my own why. I have my own why. It will get fulfilled, I guarantee it. We will help you. Thank you.
Crimes of the Crown by Captain Mark. The crown casts the world in shadow and claims to be our guiding light. cowards clamor for security from boogeymen and ghost stories. While I say these hobgoblins are imaginary, I say those they propped up as our liberators are now subsisting on our bondage. I say there is freedom in the black, and that's exactly where we intend to go. The Crown banishes its own officers for exposing its crimes and tortures dissidents to the brink of madness. It dominates the globe and swallows the wealth of generations, leaving only blood and excrement. The Crown calls it piracy to explore frontiers beyond its grasp. So the time has come for us to define the conduct among pirates. I say the Crown has trampled our necks long enough. Need decentralized solutions to centralized problems? Looking for a community of like-minded scoundrels? Or just want some swag to let the Crown know what you think of it? Join the conversation at piratswithoutborders.com. We won't be hard to find.
Rhodes? It's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
Okay, Chloe, we have an agreement. This is what's going to happen. She's going to get the other people that she's working with. Come on, and we're going to do a Zoom, and we'll work out a deal to where the production of building their dwellings, that's not going to be an issue. And they got other different techniques where I don't care. So this is, you got some labor. You know, you can get some stuff done. We looked at the cost. I was buying, you know, by the gazillions, hundreds, in 10 packs. They're big cylinders, like a half-inch conduit for, God, I think you get them down there under a dollar, 79 cents a piece, 80 cents a piece. They're $5.34 a piece now. You can get it down in the $4 something if you buy, you know, them in bulk. But this is, I'm going, you're dealing, so the final thing I left her, I go, you're dealing with, you think you can be off and on your own and not bothered and, you know, nobody mess with you and leave me aloneism. But these policies, this we really were going to, you know, print money in your name and we're going to this and we're going to that, and you're dealing with the cost. So inflation for you wanting to build your intentional community is going to be 5, 6, 10 times more what it costs than when you first started thinking about it. And it's going up. What will you do? So people that, you know, my generation that has invested in precious metals, maybe some crypto or something, you know, maybe they got a bunch of crypto. Maybe that's not, you know, a thing with them anymore, a cost. They just want to deal with the social aspect, but that's not it. Or they would just buy the land. I have friends that buy, good friends, bought missile silos. They're pimping it out. It's going to be $100 million, $200 million, you know, big resort of, you know, cage fighting underneath in the domes of the silos of the super duper, you know, rich live and then farming on top of having, you know, nitro funny, whatever the hell. I'm going, okay, you know, that's cool. Is it going to be popular? Probably will, sooner or later. All these things are going to be how we pursue our happiness. What is important to you? Some people just want to be left alone. Robin Wright, that did, she was Princess Bride. You know, Princess Bride, she was that. And then she was in House of Cards, the HBO thing with Kevin Spacey. She played the sociopathic woman, you know, that became president and whatever. Well, now she has a movie. I haven't watched it yet, but I've, you know, got some interest in it. You know, whatever happened to her, she just, and it's called Land. She just went out in the middle of the boondocks of just leave me alone. I just want to be out on the land. And, you know, is that what you want to do by yourself? You don't want a community. You don't want to be, you just want to, you know, get your mind right and peace and just, you know, relax. A lot of people do that, into the wild. Maybe you just want to keep your family healthy and alive and, you know, and the man, you're afraid of that. Maybe you're operating from fear. You know, maybe you're operating out of love. You just don't, I tell you, my big thing, you know, why I do this stuff, I wish to maintain my humanity. If you know what's coming, if you know that it's going to get bad, it's going to get bad, and you don't want to be the person that it takes to survive when it gets bad, I don't look for that. And that's why I saw this one meme, and it basically said that, you know, the reason you have a good man, that when you flip his switch, man, he with great vengeance, with passion, with freaking kick your buttism, and then whether he can go home and, love on his wife and kids, you don't know. But this is what happens to occupied lands. You've been in the Middle East, the Vietnamese during the Vietnam War. They go out and, man, they'd be brutal. Brutal. Sick. Brutal. Apocalypse Now, brutal. Are they able to turn it off and go home and love on their grandchildren? When you start this, when it gets to people get desperate or just rational thinking of what has to happen, and the phrase at the end of the Declaration of Independence said that, we must therefore acquiesce in the necessity. We must acquiesce in the necessity of what needs to be done. We're acquiescing. We're just, all right, fine. You guys want to play? Let's play. And once you make that decision, it's Benjamin Martin, Mel Gibson, freaking, all right, you made me do it. I'm going to axe up this guy. Oh, it's freaking on. The reason that happens is because you murdered the life that they had before. All their dreams, all their aspirations, all they just wanted to be left alone, all that you took from them, and you're going to pay. All right? It's like John Wick. Well, you wanted to know if I was back. I'm thinking I'm back. Godfather 3. You know, I tried to get out, but now you pulled me back in. You keep doing this to good people, and you're going to get what you're going to get, which is what? But first, before you acquiesce in the necessity, you try everything. Donating domes to collectivists, whatever, don't care. You have to have a tapestry of peaceful people that just want to be left alone. How they do that, who freaking cares? As long as they don't make me do it, as long as they're not going to some government agent and saying, you know, make him pay for it, tax him for it, give me a grant, you know, which doesn't mean they're not going to be applying for some grant, but this is why I'm doing this. It's so important to me. Freedom's Phoenix, from the ashes, is where freedom is going to come from. It's going to be the rebirth of Freedom's Phoenix. That, yeah, I've been thinking about this for decades. You know, yeah, but we got it. Every single time I look at it, it was always that one guy or gal that messed it up. And in the end, if they get pissed off, they're turned into the Karen, and there's got to be, you know, the sheriff, go get them. And the government just loves crushing these kinds of operations. And all they need to hear, or they'll just send in the informant, and they'll get it, and they'll pay. They want, no, what? Tell me about the abuse of the children by them not being vaccinated. What? You know it's true. You know that's going to happen. You know it's happening. Whatever excuse they can, it's for the children. No, it's not. You think they give a crap about your kids? They'll get somebody, you know, poster child up front to say they do. You know, they don't. This is very important. And I know a lot of people are exasperated. Oh, there goes Ernie again. Well, I did the same thing when I'm going about, and we're still working on it, the decentralization of communication with IPFS. Lots of advancements. Mike Swiatek gave a presentation at the Greater Reset last week, and people are like, whoa, what he said. But, you know, it's kind of technical. Thomas Freeman gave me a Raspberry Pi or Pirate Box, you know, some time ago, but it needed to have upgrades on the software, and he did that and demonstrated, and now I can do it. Now I can put up, boom, there forever. Next. Pin it over here. Next. Now I'm talking to some of the guys about having initial pinning services. You don't have to keep your machine on all the time, so it's there and it'll properly seed, but they can offer services of making sure that happens. So we're working on that. Just like, okay, that's what I want. I need somebody to build it. I want to build it. I'll make it to where, you know, we can, but do I got to do it all the time? I got other stuff to do. You know, I don't want to build the battery. I want to buy it. You know, that's happening already. I don't want to build, you know, the homes. I want to be able to buy them. Well, now we got some people that want to start manufacturing. I don't want to build your communication decentralized system. I want to use it. You know, and I do what I got to do to make that happen. Well, welcome to my quantum reality. This is what we're doing. And we're making things happen, but it only happens when I focus on it, when I bitch about it. I keep saying the same thing over and over and over. What do I got to do? What can I do? What's your conflict resolution? What do I got to do? What can I do? What's your conflict resolution? What do I got to do? What can I do? What's your conflict resolution? I keep doing that because nobody answers it. And when they do, you know, it may not be the answer I wanted. So we're going to experiment. We're going to do it. We're going to help. And I'm going to take you on for the ride, and you get to listen and participate and do yourself. Because we can. I have faith in the goodness of humanity. They just need enough time to experience what does and does not work without constant manipulation from they, them, those. And it starts with the land. Can I put my tent on my own effing land? Not without a permit from the Crown. Okay. Who's that? Well, how do I deal with that? The general public opinion thing. See, I bring it full circle. It's not complicated. Why I'm doing this. Next hour, Tyranny Report. Well, that's going to be apt. Oh, there's so much stuff going on, but I tried. I'm for solution, man. I am done analyzing. I know Dr. Tamburi is going to want to share what he learned over the last couple of weeks. We didn't get to do show last week, so it's going to be a fire hose of tyranny.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Recording in progress.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Today, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Feared, but relatively concerned. Things are happening fast. I tell you, a lot of it, and whatever solutions you had, you thought you were prepping for, and you did, and everything. And if you just, you know, put cash in the bank, and now it's worth, I don't know, a third of what it was a year ago. You know, God forbid you're wanting to, you know, they changed the consumer price index in like 04, 05. I remember when they did that, they had a cost of living adjustment. It was going to be going to Social Security and older people and entitlements and retirement pensions and all that kind of stuff based on the COLA. So they changed the COLA to not include food, fuel, and housing. There's no inflation. As long as you don't eat, live anywhere, or go anywhere, you don't have inflation. So I'm going, oh, you trusted the man? Oh, how silly of you. Well, you know, another, I don't know, is Dr. Frank trusting the man? I don't know. You got a close relationship with the man, Mr. Frank Tamburi?
I have about a close enough relationship with the man as you do. And sometimes I don't want that kind of relationship. It's hard to shake it at times. Well, good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. Hey, can you turn up your volume or yell into the microphone more?
Yeah, sure. Sure, I'll yell more. How's that? Is that better? More like Gurney? There we go.
Yeah.
One, two, three.
Anything helps. But, yeah, are you on your phone?
Yes. Okay. Yes, I am.
All right. Well, yes. let me, all right, go ahead and start talking, and I'll do the level. I'll just bring me down so everybody doesn't have to run over to their volume thing all the time.
Yeah. Well, it's been a couple of weeks, and we missed last time. I had my birthday the other day, so I've been kind of busy with
happy
all this stuff
birthday.
Here.
How old are you?
51. I just made it through. I turned 50 during the quarantine last year, and we had to sit home. There was nothing to do on my birthday. Remember, June? We had quarantine. Remember, a year ago we had the quarantine, the main shutdown. And we're all sitting there watching the George Floyd riots and the burning and everything. That was my 50th. I'll never forget it. But I'm sure many of you had similar birthdays, strange as it was. Well, as far as now, I got to tell you, it's been a pretty interesting. The big news event in the last week or so, I think, has been the Dr. Fauci emails and his book. It's interesting how those emails came out at the same time his book dropped. So it seems like there's certainly the information war is being hit on both sides. And I think, I think they're losing ground big time. I mean, from a worldwide trust level, not just here in America, it's completely blowing not only the COVID issue out of the water, but also the media itself, which for this audience is not a big problem. No one trusts the media on this.
And what do I always say? The future is all about credibility, and theirs is going away.
It's completely gone. I mean, and for the people who have argued with us, let's say at work or family and such, they keep losing ground on these arguments. And you could go, everything's a conspiracy theory. Heck, I even listen to K-Jazz. That's the PBS, they play All Things Consider. I used to like that show. But to sit there and listen to those shows now, it's astounding. They throw you literally call everything a conspiracy theory. I mean, that's what the so-called PBS news shows refer to everything now is conspiracy theory, which is not even journalism, of course. It's opinion. But think about how many things, just in the last few years, and the audience listening, just think about what other topics am I missing. You got the whole Jeffrey Epstein and Bill Clinton and Bill Gates and all these guys, right? That whole story, we don't have to go into that. We all know that story. But that was a conspiracy theory, and Alex Jones was thrown off the air for having theories like that 10 years ago talking about it, right? How about the whole Hollywood Weinstein kind of world? Conspiracy theory, that's been thrown now. We can turn around, we can talk about the COVID issue, right? About wearing masks or not masks. Now we're finding out that Fauci himself said that masks don't work in his emails. But that was a conspiracy theory. Oh, how about it coming from the Wuhan lab? Oh, that was a conspiracy theory. And every one of these so-called conspiracy theories, it's bad enough that they call it a conspiracy, right? Whatever crap that they want to label it. The worst part is every time that they labeled something that turned out to be true, they're the ones that banned it, censored it, canceled people lost jobs. That's the horror here. And for each of these scare tactics and brainwashing their followers on CNN and the rest to go after their family, go after their neighbors and coworkers for having these views.
Yeah, truth wasn't enough. They had to make you pay.
Exactly, make you pay. But now the turnaround and the egg on the face of the people, the sycophants, your friends and neighbors or old friends, maybe past friends and neighbors who turned on you over this and said, oh, fact check. I'm going to fact check this on ABC News. I'm going to fact check this on the New York Times. People calling the New York Times a fact check source. They have no clue being in the fishbowl about the bias that they have. And now with all of these theories being blown out of the water, it's not just that they're wrong. It's the fact that they're the ones that came after and attacked us. Literally attacked us, and now they can't stand on those so-called fact checks anymore, and now their credibility is now being thrown out. And hopefully, my point, Ernie, is that people, unlike you and I and a lot of this audience, are a little bit opinionated. We don't stand for that, but a lot of us, we tend to sit back and we're afraid to confront, and we're maybe afraid to lose a job and this and that. Well, hopefully those Americans who've been quiet this time and let Donald Trump push back for us instead of us ourselves will finally have the backbone to stand up to these people because they've lost the credibility in front of us. And therefore, you now have the leverage. You have, as Obi-Wan Kenobi once said, I have the high ground, Anakin. We now have the high ground over these issues, and we can clobber them with it.
High ground. What high ground? What do you mean high ground? We got the high ground. What's the high ground?
You don't watch Star Wars, the high ground. Notice we have the high ground the leverage. We'll put another term. Leverage over them. In other words, each of these issues that they say you're a conspiracy and there's nothing.
Well, I understand what you mean, but I want to get the definition of high ground. A lot of times you have the moral high ground or you got the physical high ground. I got the sniper high ground. I got, the truth high ground. I got, I'm wondering what you mean by that. We got the high ground. Which is
let's
what?
Say the credibility high ground.
Okay, credibility. All right. And that's doesn't seem to matter in, sure as hell not in politics. You know, see, I've always played the long game because we've been in the editorial board meetings with, you know, as party chair and all that kind of stuff, and you got 13, 14 of them there going, well, if you would only not be such a pain in our ass, and we'll focus on, they made the offer, you know, we'll focus on whatever your pet issue is, you know, and we'll make a big woo-hoo out of it, and you'd kind of leave us alone, and we'll go be communist over here. And I'm going, my pet issue is freedom. You can't give me what I want. You know, you're not going to. It's not in your nature. It's not your goal. You know, it was a really ugly meeting, and it was Paul Schatt. He was editorial page editor of the Republic. But at least they respected us, but they knew we were the enemy. The libertarians were the enemy, and they operate from the idea of they can bribe you. And well, of course you'll take the vaccine so you can go to a concert, right? You know, I mean, they're trying to bribe everybody. What percentage do you think it is? Is it like everybody? You know, I don't know. When we come back, we'll talk about this. Who can be conned, bribed, manipulated? Have they reached their limit? Are all the low-hanging fruit been picked? Are they done? It's now whatever you got, that's it, and no more, because the people are rising up, and they've taken a side. And, oh, by the way, everybody found out you guys were lying sacks of snot from the beginning. Now what? We'll find out.
From the sixth letter of Captain Mark. A pirate's life is characterized by voluntary interactions. Unfortunately, the crown presses everyone into involuntary servitude. Landlubbers believe slavery was abolished years ago, but the crown still claims to own us when it crimps us into service against our will. Given sufficient ambition, it would gladly draft thousands of hapless victims to kill or be killed. It's simply slavery by another name. Landlubbers are routinely commanded to serve the so-called justice system in jury duty. But before you swell with civic pride, consider that how you feel is irrelevant to the crown. You will appear as ordered or face punitive measures. The crown insists that you participate in your own oppression. A jury summons provides pirates with a unique opportunity to obstruct injustices. A juror can vote not guilty, even if it's proven the law was violated. A juror can acquit for any reason at all, and not even a judge can reverse that verdict. Receiving a jury summons is basically winning the sedition lottery. But if you reveal that you know this during jury selection, you'll probably be dismissed. If the crown foolishly crimps a pirate into jury duty, it behooves the pirate to conceal their intention to nullify unjust laws. If a master takes 100% of your labor, it's called slavery. But if they only take 50%, they call it taxation, a difference of degree, not of kind. Whether the crown claims a fortune or a cent is irrelevant. Most of all, a slave owner desires contented slaves, meaning thoughtless ones that accept their bondage. These house slaves see no contradiction in being drafted in a war to end slavery or summoned to a jury to prosecute tax evasion. An ideal slave knows no higher call than the master's will. The crown's highest ambition is that its slaves revere the authority that subjugates them. But the crown does not own me. I will not surrender my time and treasure to the crown's ambitions. Join the conversation at piratewithoutborders.com.
To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800, 602-264-2800, and now, Ernest Hancock.
And Dr. Frank Tamburi, you know, I missed you last week, man. You know, we, you know, both busy, I guess, we're doing our thing. But, you know, I'm, it built up a lot of stuff. What happened since then was, you know, Rand Paul got Fauci up there and just, you know, gave him every opportunity to lie, and he took every opportunity to lie. So, you know, he comes out, but, you know, damn it, he's got a book. He's cashing in with a book. He got a book. You know, you're gonna run out and read his book, are you?
Yeah. I'm reading that. I actually, just right after I finished reading my National Enquirer issue.
All right. Donna's got something to say. She just told me. Here, go. What?
I think Amazon pulled Fauci's book. There's a story on Freedom's Phoenix about it. I didn't research it, but I just saw the headline.
What was that?
Amazon pulled his book.
Are you kidding me?
Hey, man, he got canceled by Amazon. You must be a real scumbag.
Canceled by Amazon. Oh, my God. Well, that's a whole story in itself. Well, I got to tell you, it's interesting.
I mean, they pull all the Freedom stuff, and for them to pull a Fauci book, they must know something's coming.
Yeah. Oh my God, that's huge. Well, here it's interesting too. You mentioned that with Rand Paul. Isn't it fascinating? And I'm not accusing Rand of anything. God knows. God bless him. He was the only representative that had the balls, not to mention the medical background. I don't know how many other doctors that happen to be politicians or at least senators right now, representatives. But the thing is, you had him taking on and asking Fauci, just like Dr. Ron Paul would take on Ben Bernanke. You know, those are classic episodes. You know, of the Senate hearings, right? The representative hearings. Anyway, the point is you got Rand Paul grilling Fauci at the time, just not that long ago. Then comes out, of course, the book and these emails. So it's almost you couldn't have had a better setup of getting everyone's attention with Fauci being put on record, including live. A lot of people watched it live stream of Fauci, you know, trying to answer Rand Paul and doubling down on some of his claims. And then, bam, the book, bam, the emails. And so this whole thing's getting blown out. And now Amazon's pulling it. That's fascinating. There's more to see in this show, definitely. And we're also seeing just the control of China, but I'll talk about that in just a second. Before we got off to the break, you had asked me about how many people seem to be falling, like the low-hanging fruit, as far as the with the vaccinations and the like. It's interesting. I have an interesting perspective because, you know, I play a doctor sometimes during the day, and I have a lot of patients that come in. I do tend to attract patients who are anti-establishment. Not necessarily that they're all libertarians, but, you know, if you don't trust the medical system, then, you know, they sometimes see me. You know, if the medical system says, you know, well, in 5-minute visit, take your prostate out, and a patient goes, well, is there some other alternatives? Maybe I don't trust the system. Then they find doctors like me. So I'm just pointing that out. I tend to see contrarian patients, or at least those that question it. Okay. So with that said, you know, most of my guys are not watching CNN. I'll just leave it there. So with that said, I'm fascinated and surprised how many of them did get the vaccine. And the interesting is, because I do ask, did you get COVID-19 or did you get the vaccine? And the reason I ask is not to grill my patients. It's mainly because if they got either one, it can cause an inflammatory response, which can throw off their PSA, which is one of the markers I look at to track for a possible cancer flare-up. So
hey, you see your doctor throwing around letters. PSA stands for what?
Prostatic specific antigen. And most guys should know about this one. If you're over 50, you should be having it checked. But anyway, the thing is, PSAs can be thrown off for a bunch of reasons that are not cancer. And one of them is getting the flu, but just the regular flu can throw it off. So that's why I always ask questions about what else has happened before I just assume the PSA is coming from cancer, like your 5-minute, you know, doc in a box will do. But anyway, now with COVID, that's a whole other level of possible inflammation. And getting a vaccine, any vaccine, you know, I don't recommend for at least a couple months, you know, away from getting a PSA. So that's I'm just pointing out why I ask my patients. It's not to make a political statement. However, being that I'm a doctor that has a rifle on his wall, you know, I do have patients that tend to, you know, lean a little more, you know, liberty. And so when I ask them, a lot of the times they'll ask me my opinion, and we get into this a lot in my office. But many of them tell me that, I would say half of them have not been vaccinated, and they say, hell no, HE double hockey sticks. And then the other half tell me that they do. And yet what's been a little frustrating, I'll be honest, is the patients who said that they have, you know, I don't give them my judgment, and I'm in doctor mode. But at the same time, they reluctantly say, yeah, I got it. I didn't really want to. I really, really didn't want to get it. But, you know, my wife wants to take a cruise, and I was, you know, I didn't want to have to hold up the family cruise. I mean, things like that. So they're taking it reluctantly in order to travel and some of the threats going forward. And I'm just, it's very surprising.
For the same reason they got a Facebook account, for the convenience of it. Everybody else is on it. I need to be able to do this stuff I want to do. And they aren't willing to inconvenience themselves, you know, their health for the rest of their life. This is a problem. There's something fundamental that's being gamed in humanity. And they knew this would happen. That's why they did it.
Yes. And those are the low-hanging fruit. And it's interesting, too, just seeing the certain personalities that will do that. And granted, I'm not trying to be too judgmental, but, you know, when they ask me, I tell them, well, you know, for every person that gets it, that, you know, if you think for medical reasons, that's fine. If you're afraid and you're hiding in your basement watching CNN, fine. But if you're getting it for convenience like that, I tell them, for every person that gets this vaccine to make it easy for themselves, they're making it that much harder for the rest of us that are not, that are holding out, to draw this line. That line has to be drawn here, because you said it most eloquently, that if at the end of the day, they take the guns, they take the gold, they take everything, that's not as bad, and never is the line where you don't have control over your own body. When they can tell you what to put in your body, then you're a slave at that point. There's no freedom at all when you can't control that. And I always remembered your comment on that. Believe it or not, I actually remember here. I listened to a few things that you say, Ernie. And that was something that is absolutely true. That's why of all the things in the world, you hitched your whole bus to the vaccine issue, even before COVID came out, God bless you. But that is the line in the sand. And now we're finally confronting it. And for Americans not to see how important, profoundly important that is a bit disheartening, even in my own office. But yeah, so that is the low-hanging fruit. CNN people already got it. They got their free donuts from Krispy Kreme, you know, for getting the vaccine. And then you got people for the cruises. But I would say there's easily about a third of Americans who are drawing that line in the sand. And I think that's enough. But the irony is, if a third of the people don't get the vaccine, I might be a little bit off on the numbers here, but you almost are at herd immunity. I think it's their herd immunity, and don't quote me, guys, I'm not the expert on this. I think it's around 20% that if you get, like, I think it's 80, if 80% get vaccinated, then you don't need the rest.
You know, one of the things that Rand Paul said, he was on some show I was watching, you know, about this revelation in the emails of Fauci. And yeah. He goes, you know, we've had herd immunity starts at, you know, we already got it. I mean, if we're going to have it, we're going to have it. And COVID-19, right, at its worst, oh, my God, it could be 1% death. You get it, 1% of you die, which is, you know, tragic and high and whatever. But a lot of this gain of function stuff that they're trying to do, they have in the lab, they're still working on, they're trying to get it up to 15%. I mean, they're going for it. And this is, oh, for what? Why are you even doing, man? Who are these people? Well, Fauci was funding them. This is the face of evil. And, you know, you have him, you have Bill Gates, and I'm sure there's a bunch of others that are involved in this, and hopefully it'll come out. What's going to come out? Well, first thing is, just because they got a shiny badge, don't believe them.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
And Dr. Frank Tamburi. Okay, a lot of people have been coerced, fraud, deceit, force, you know, into taking one of several different versions of the vaccine. And it's not even really, I don't know if it's about they're wanting to kill everybody off or they're setting them up for later a storm in their immune system when the flu season starts again. And then they justify, see, we told you, you know, and you know, who's going to do the study? The people that didn't get vaxxed. And then while they're making deadly pathogens, you know, with the budget from Fauci and going to China to do it if they have to. I'm like, wow, this is wow. It's so very wow. So I'm going, all right, Frank, Why are they doing this? What are they doing?
Wait. Why are they doing what?
Forcing people to take this vaccine. Anyway, it's not because they love us. I mean, I'm not stupid enough to think Uncle Sam gives a crap about my health.
Oh, it's in my opinion, it's all control. I mean, it's interesting. There was a comment made. I heard some other commentators discuss how. You know, you remember how Democrats are, right? I forget what source it was.
Wait. Project allowed. What? Remember what?
No, anyway, it's some Democrat source, some book, whatever, where they always say that never let a good crisis go to waste,
yeah,
right? That's kind of the Democrat or far left, whatever, mantra.
Rahm Emanuel, it was an advisor or something to Obama and then became mayor of Chicago, followed by what's her name? And he's always... Never let a good crisis go to waste. Okay, go.
Yeah. The guy's name on the tip of my tongue, I forget his name. But anyway, Emanuel maybe said it, I forget. Anyway, the point is that seems to be what they did. And it's interesting. If you know from the very beginning, if you're watching the very beginning, when this thing first hit, as much as I'd like to blame the Democrats, you know, created this whole thing, or maybe Fauci did, some people in the deep state, but, you know, most of the Democrats, everything Donald Trump did in the beginning to try to get his bearings of this, not to mention, you know, Trump only knew the information coming into him, and you can see how already the deep state of medicine was hiding things from him. So he probably wasn't getting the straight picture either. I mean, he was trying to do his best to, you know, balance all that, not to mention, you know, the election coming up and the media taking everything opposite. So it was literally like a juvenile person. If you say that you like up, they'll say down. You say left, they say right, no matter what it is, right? So everything Donald Trump was trying to do, they would say the opposite. And that's what's fascinating, is that the Democrats were the ones saying the opposite. You know, don't wear a mask at first, right? And Trump said, I think maybe you should maybe wear a mask. You don't have to, but, you know, it's being considered as, you know, as good practice. Don't wear a mask because Donald Trump said so. Everything was opposite of what Trump did. And then there was a turn. There was a turn, I think, after the first month or so, where all of a sudden, it's like the Democrats started to reassess and say, wait a minute, this is a heck of a crisis that we could use to our advantage. And it's true. I mean, you start to see a turnaround where then they start to double down on the lockdowns and the control, and just they figured that they saw that the economy in the country was on the ropes. And instead of trying to just battle against what Trump is saying, just to be the opposite, just, you know, for whatever reason, they realized that this was, you know, America was on its knees, and now they're going to take their boot and shove it on its head and force it down. And if they have to destroy the country, it doesn't matter, because most of these people want it destroyed anyway. They hate this country. They hate the history. You know, they want to rework this entire government and everything, which I'm sure some libertarians want to do that too. But you get my point. Mm-hmm. So I think that that it shows a little bit that it's not as Machiavellian as it might be. That many of us look at this grand conspiracy where they orchestrate this entire thing. There's certainly more behind this. I find it interesting that this virus was, quote, released or exposed to the world. Only think about this, a month or so after, or actually around the same time in China, it was released in November is when we first start hearing about those doctors who were making posts online, and then they were getting canceled. The one guy died or what have you, yeah. Or something happened to him, disappeared. So this was around November and December of 2019, right? What else happened in 2019, the end of 2019, beginning of 2020, is when China stopped buying our bonds. The same time, that's when they stopped buying our debt. And of course, the Federal Reserve started having to monetize it, right? Now, this became, people forgot about it because COVID became all the, you know, the whole deal, right? Everyone's talking COVID. But people forget that the real monetization, you know, of the Fed, China finally, the fear that many economists had for decades, which is the day when China finally says, we're not buying your crap anymore, your T-bills.
Which is when Donna and I decided to hit the road. It was October of 19. I remember when started monetizing the debt, when they had their overnight lending for the reserve requirement, and then all of a sudden they were the ones, we're the window, we're the last resort, we'll do it. Oh, and you don't have to pay it back the next day like you're supposed to keep your books balanced, right? It can take a week, a day. We had John Snyzen in, you know, from Winnipeg. He's an economist, written book, good friend. He was like, look, this is it. You know, China and Canada didn't even have a reserve requirement. They can just do it however much they want. And the U.S., they're doing it, and they're not paying it back, and they're not putting the deadline on them, and they don't want what happened with Lehman Brothers that kicked off the 08 crisis with a liquidity problem. So they said, there is no liquidity problem. We have a printing press. Well, how do they justify it? How do they do it? Well, whatever they can come up with. And I knew they were going to come up with something. Well, that's where the COVID thing hit. Boom. It's everything Dr. Frank is just saying. You look, why? It was the money. And it was their policies have devalued the money so much that other countries that keep their reserves in the dollar as a reserve currency, then what do you hear from Klaus Schwab? Oh, the U.S. has enjoyed this dominance in this you know, reserve world currency kind of thing long enough, and it's racist or whatever the hell it is, and they're going to go to something else, which is what? I don't know, but I guarantee it's going to be a GoldmanSachs.gov coin. That's what I say. And here it comes, and it's going to get bad, and you're from 79 cents to a stick of conduit just a few years ago to $5 and something. Copper, wood, lumber, $10 to $40. I'm telling you, it's happening now.
No, it is. It's happening now. But what I'm saying is that the conspiracy, if there's one, I think it's coming directly from China, because you have them releasing the virus, whether it was on purpose or not, and that they stopped buying our debt at the same time. That, to me, is the big story no one ever connects the dots on, is which came first. Did they release the virus by accident? They went, holy crap, the world's screwed. We may as well just stop buying their debt now and just let this thing roll out. Or was it on purpose? I don't know. But those two huge, profound events occurred at the same time. And people aren't connecting that. With that said, I think this is China's deal, obviously, and most Americans, even the deep state people, didn't see it coming, which is why they were just opposing Trump for being Trump until they started realizing, going back to your question, why are they forcing the vaccines, that they realized that this was a control issue that the left could take control of, no pun intended, I guess. And that's why this...
And that's why what? I lost your audio, man. All right, we'll get it fixed. You know, the one thing I want to put in this is that it was collectivism versus collectivism. And these bankers and central planners and so on, they thought that they were going to be able to, you know, out-collectivize China, you know, and Russia and all these guys. You want collective? I'll show you collective. Well, what did they do? They used collectivism to get you to buy into this debt creation, to be able to spend money in your name and do it at a large, massive scale that's going to have large, massive corrections. Well, if you just left it local and community and state and county and freaking family farm of whatever, and you don't have this kind of collectivization, what do you get? Well, I don't know, but it's a, you know, diverse. It's robust. It's, you know, well, that doesn't work for these few over here. It does not do that anymore. You don't do it. Well, what they were doing is they're going, look, we're going to have a collective answer. We're going to compete collectively across the entire planet with the reserve currency, the dollar or whatever, but it depended on other collectives. Well, what happens when China goes, you know what? We collectively aren't playing anymore. Now what? Then everybody gets impacted at the same time. Get depression. So what's the answer? Decentralization down to the individual. Then you have a whole way to combat it.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
And sometimes Dr. Frank Tamburi, what happened is, well, tell the people what happened, how your signal got hijacked.
Yeah, well, I'm not used to, we have a new high-tech car. We always had old cars that on purpose. That didn't have all this tech stuff in it. I prefer old-fashioned. But we finally got our first hybrid, getting ready for gas going to $20 a gallon or whatever. So it's a brand new, like, you know, 2020, whatever. It's got all these bells and whistles that many of you guys are used to. I'm not. It's like driving a space shuttle or whatever. My wife is getting ready to leave, and she went and turned on the car, which I didn't realize that hijacked my Bluetooth. So it just automatically took the signal into the car, which I didn't know at first. So,
and yeah, all of a sudden, it's Ernie on the radio, your Savard is going, so, what the hell? I can't get away from it.
Yeah, so it's interesting, these high-tech problems you have to be aware of, and I got to figure out that for the future. But anyway, sorry about that, but that's interesting, and sure, many of you with these cars already know that problem.
Well, the other thing we were talking about, you know, I don't know how much detail you want to give, but there's some land thing, and, you know, outside the valley Frank's interested in, and so on. He's checking building codes, and you're looking at, you know, and it's going, man, it's getting kind of, you know, onerous here. What's your experience? What happened? What'd you find out? What's the neighbors do?
Well, the neighbors don't seem to care at all, and you know, they're kind of, you know, they're just doing their own thing. It's almost like you got to wonder, you know, when if you're going to be in these areas, you know, government people probably don't have a lot to do. I mean, I'm sure they always have something to do. But, you know, it's like you go to these government people and you say, hey, is there any problems with this piece of property? Is there anything I need to know about, any problems? If you think about it, you know, it's like you're asking someone to look at your car and say, is there anything here that I could pay you for to work on? You know, and they go, oh, well, yeah, there's a ding over here. I could do this. And this is a problem. Oh, I don't know how you're driving with this, you know, this tire. Oh, my God, you're going to die if you don't change this tire. Like, you have to kind of wonder, are there really problems, or if you're constantly asking to look for problems, they just find something. And I don't know. I mean, it's I don't get too much into detail, but it's, you know, I'm kind of new into the property thing. And but
well, this is stuff that I'm focused on. When we come back to Arizona, as much as it's gone, and we saw it happening in the mid '90s as libertarians, but I didn't own property or have big land or any of that kind of stuff. But I just knew someday this is going to affect me. Well, now that we're looking for raw land and doing different things, I'm going, yeah, this is how they do it. You know, this is you know, they set this infrastructure up. Now, some communities, they don't, I know, you know, regulator, what's his name, bureaucracy, what you call it, and we're all buds at church, and I ain't got to worry about it. But when they don't like you, and you're not going to blend, I mean, you know, when they don't like you, oh, we got a clipboard and some shiny badge going to explain it to you. And that is what Arizona was known for, with the raw land. You could do whatever you wanted, and that's changing. And it's going at the county level, and I'm going to have to do battle with this. I just know it, you know. And when we get back there into the summer, early fall, we're going to be being buttheads about this. So strap in, guys. Here it comes.
Yeah, and the thing is, it also becomes, as you say, public opinion. I mean, at some point when people stop caring, where they turn their back in mass. You know, there was one of my patients. He's this millionaire business guy, and he does business in China. And he and I were, you know, chatting a little bit. As my patients like to chit chat about other things outside of prostate, and they get to know me. It's always a fun visit. But he was commenting about the communism and the business in China, and he did a lot of work in China. And he said he was chatting with business owners, and this comment was made. He said, "Look, we know that this is what the Chinese businessman said." He said, "Look, we know that we're known as communist, but yet we can do business here." And the American was trying to figure out what the limitations were, you know, working with a Chinese company. And he said, the reality is this: the government says that we're communist, and we, the people, just let them think that that's what we are. In other words, it's, and I know there's, you know, a little debate about all that, but it's almost like they're becoming more free market. The communists have their control with things, but there's so many people there, and the free market is still the engine that seems to be pushing through the communist part, that there's conflict. And without the First Amendment, without the Second Amendment, without some of their liberties, they don't have to fall back on in the Supreme Court that's supposed to be, you know, upholding.
Yeah, no, we're all the same. So, there's not a lick of difference.
But it's just the concept of the people. You know, I would think that the communist Chinese were like kind of like in communist Russia, where, you know, the Soviets, where, you know, everyone was just depressed and feeling whipped, and they had like these monkeys on your back. But it seems like the Chinese communist people don't feel that way. They feel like, you know, it's like, hey, all right, if they think they're in charge, fine. You know, but we'll just let them
think they are
in charge. You know, but we're really I'm just telling you that
I understand.
A lot more going on
I understand. This is how I see it. And I really got it when we started getting chickens. It was, the chickens are healthier, they're more productive, they cost less money to deal with, and they produce better eggs, and they multiply better when they're more free. And we had, you know, those couple of acres, they ran around, did whatever the hell they wanted, but they knew to come back home, and, you know, the sun would touch the horizon, boom, they're back in the coop. I don't have to manage them, I don't have to deal with it, and the smarter ones go up in the trees, and the coyotes don't get them. So I just kind of had a hands-off, and they think they're free. They're happy. They're doing. They think we work for them. They think that, you know, they'd come out and feed us and do whatever. But in the end, when it comes down to it, I'd be the boss. I'm the owner. I'm the rancher. I provide the freedom for them because it benefits me. But when it comes down to it, and we move, this ain't your place anymore. You're going to the next door neighbors. You got sold off to someone else. You know, I'm a slaver, man. You know, I'm going to get what I want. I'm the rancher because I see that I get more for me by making them think they're free or being free or having the benefits of freedom, but then I get the spoils of it. And that's how the better governments see it. The freedom is what produces the wealth that they're sucking off of us from. So to ever think that they go, well, we'll just let them think they're communists. Well, whatever the hell they are, they're in charge, I guarantee it.
Well, yeah. Look, from where the communist Chinese came from, the people, you know, from Tiananmen Square and from before that, I think it's a revolutionary mindset for them to even think that. It's almost like being a teenager where you finally start to realize that, you know, my parents are my parents, but I don't have to sit there and listen to everything they have to say. You know, I'm becoming more independent. I almost got that impression from other sources through China, because, you know, I speak a little bit of Chinese, I speak Japanese.
Yeah, right,
you know,
up until your social credit score goes to crap and you're not able to fly and you can't go to the concert without your vaccine.
Dude, I'm not bowing to China like John Cena.
No, I understand. I'm agreeing with you, and you're sharing what your client says. I understand. It's just that it's how they suck you into this. Yeah, we let them pretend they're communists. They don't give a crap whether they pretend they're communists or not. What they are is in charge. Eventually, they're in charge. And that's what my last couple-hour guest, she was going on, and Matt White, in the Telegram, Declare Your Independence Telegram, Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock. You can join it on Freedom's Phoenix on the left there towards the top underneath the spot prices and everything. It's a Join Us Telegram. You just click that and you go in. Those guys, smart people. Well, he goes, I can tell. She's from this Goddard School of Vermont. Come to find out, that's where she got her degree, because she thought this way. She uses words in the freedom community to where, yeah, you come in, but ultimately you're controlled. Ultimately, there's a central plan. Ultimately, there's a committee of in charge of, you know, we voted. And I'm going, okay, where's the community that supports the individual's right to be left alone on their land? Where's that? Well, the closest I can find, Declaration of Independence and what the promise of the country in the beginning was, that we're here to defend individual rights. But no, they justify and change definitional words to be that you are managed like chickens. You're just chickens. And eventually, you're running around thinking you're free, and then you're in the Chicken McNugget box. That's what's happening. So I'm going, all right. You know, so you're parlaying the land and what we're doing and everything. I can see fundamentally this is all going to come down to autonomy on land. Even out in the middle of the freaking desert, there's technology that we have that we can live a prosperous, free life. They've been doing it for millennia, and we want our chance with the technology. No, really. Well, tell everybody that. I want to make sure everybody knows what the truth is. And the truth is, you're lying sacks of crap. And that's it. Now we can bring us right back to Fauci, you know? Oh. Well, we're going to go long do an after show, because that's what Frank
with
and
like
I did.
Ron Paul and cryptocurrency. Ron Paul and crypto next.
Ron Paul, cryptocurrency in the after show. All right. We can do that. You know, it's been an interesting day. It's kind of been shotgunning all over the place, but, you know, I like to share with you guys. You can see my perspective as we go through this trip and the relationships that we have, the things we're willing to do to invest in, and other people that are supporters. They help us invest in the good ideas. So a lot of times, it's just for knowledge. It's just to learn something or demonstrate. Well, Dr. Frank and I are going to get into that without commercial interruption in the after show. Starts in just a second, guys. Hold on.